The Lord may be pleased to help us. We will turn to Psalm 89 and the 15th verse. Psalm 89 verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. The 89th Psalm and the 15th verse. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. This word appertains to the old dispensation we read of in the book of Numbers, the trumpet that was used by the Levites, the sons of Aaron, to make known the mind and will of God to Israel of old. It was a type of the truth being preached, the whole counsel of God in the gospel days. And it was of a specific nature that the trumpets would be made, all of a piece. There should be an uncertain sound to the people of old, and it should be of pure silver. That's something that we should weigh up prayerfully in these solemn days, friends, when the truth is so sadly perverted and sort of turning away from the old paths, that there are many temptations to our young friends, and I feel this word is a word of warning to us in these difficult times. Those trumpets but were ordained of God to be made all of a piece. Be no uncertain sound regarding what was proclaimed to Israel, otherwise be confusion. And also that it made of pure silver. No adulterations must be purified. And the psalmist said, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And my friends, young and old, if we are made to love the word of God, we love the purity of the word of God, the preciousness of it. He who is the word is faithful and true, friends. There's no other person can be faithful and true. All flesh falls down before the glorious truth that is contained there. But oh, the word incarnate, the eternal Son of God in flesh, in heaven above, the incarnate and divine truth, his people, his name is faithful and true. We read of it in Revelation. And what an anchor hold for your soul, friends, in trouble, anguish, uncertainty, difficulty in life, that his name is the word of God, his name is faithful and true, clothed in blood. Sprinkled with that precious sin atoning sacrifice, that even poor, guilty, unworthy, hell-deserving sinners may have a hope in his mercy. You sung the gospel hymn, friends. I thought nothing of it when I came here, really, but it's got the truth in it, hasn't it? The vilest sinner out of hell. My friends, we are on praying ground this day. Got eternity before us, O solemn sound, to mortal souls a dreadful wound. God of Christ and heaven be ours. How sweet the accents. How divine. I speak of something today, Lord, help me, friends, that will live to all eternity. Let it live our poor bodies and all the things of creature and time around us. For he says, the heaven shall pass away and the earth shall pass away, and I will. But my word shall not pass away. And to have so in our soul written by the Holy Spirit, one divine word of comfort and hope in his mercy, as this side the grave, would take a soul to eternal happiness in heaven to come. His word shall stand, his truth prevail, and not one jot or tittle fell. Now, young friends, may the word of God be very precious to you. And by this sacred authorized version that's been sort of comfort the hearts of God's people all those long years and taken so many souls, this vial of tears, be treasured by you and may not be adulterated and corrupted by the vanity of man's wisdom and the criticisms of the human heart of finite ungodliness. May we ever cleave these sacred and eternal truths that have been so owned and blessed of God the Holy Spirit for many long years. Those trumpets must be made of pure silver. And we thank God that the word of God is faithful and true. Infinitely, eternally true. Truth in omnipotence and mercy. So our text is preceded by a very solemn word. Justice and judgment are the habitation, establishment of thy throne. What a solemn order, dear friends, isn't it? To realize God's eternal person can never ever change the shadow of a turn. That holiness, that purity, that righteousness, that justice, that light which no man can ever approach unto, for the angels with their faces can never turn, shall ever turn. God will never condone sin, nor make allowances for poor sinners. It's not his nature it should be so. Otherwise his nature will be corrupted. But God is holy. And justice and judgment are the habitation, establishment of his throne, the glory of his throne. So there must be a way established. There must be a way whereby God, so holy and just and pure, can have mercy. And so he says, mercy and truth should go before thy face. Though thou art so holy, just, and righteous in heaven, we cannot bear to think the thought of the glory, or can we stand the voice of that trumpet of Sinai as any more than Moses could, when he did exceedingly fear and quake. But oh friends, we have here the gospel, mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Worship, friends, that God delighteth in mercy. He hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The word of God says so. The wish to turn from his wickedness and learn righteousness. There's no pleasure in heaven. But one repenting soul brought to confess their wickedness and sin before a holy God by divine help from heaven, to be brought to true penitence and godly sorrow for their sins, the very angels rejoicement who need no salvation. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than many just persons who feel to need no repentance of themselves. But when a soul is brought to realize God's infinite holiness, and to realize, my dear friends, that we are bankrupt, lost and ruined and undone. We spoke little in the prayer earlier on. We got such an awful debt before God, friends, for his mercy. I'm not speaking about natural debts. That's embarrassing enough, but through God's mercy we don't suffer as they did in years gone by in those things, do we? Be thankful for all his provision to you, my dear friends, naturally speaking. But all, each one of us, a bankrupt soul spiritually before a holy God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all born in sin and shaven in iniquity. We have no power or craft or wisdom in any way to reconcile our nature unto God in ourselves, friends. The movement must be from heaven. I suppose that Saul of Tarsus had as much religion, naturally speaking, any person could have. But when it is brought before this holy God, and justice and judgment, the habitation of the throne of God's glory to his heart, he says, sin revived, no, I died. Oh, yes. Without the law, once a poor man was impeccable in his life. No one could point a finger at him. But, oh, God, in his Holy Spirit, cast the arrow of conviction deep in his heart. God's a spirit, dear friends. Looks on the heart of poor sinners. He knows our innermost motions and intents that prompt all our thoughts and actions and words and ways, even in worship. He knows the intents of the hymns and the intents of the reading and our prayers. What motivates the words, friends? Man may cover up, but deep there may be something lurking. And God knows it, friends. And so it brought to books before a holy God, and he trembled at divine justice. He trembled his unrighteousness. That fig leaf raiment that fell from his person and all that he's trusting upon in himself, he came to a standstill. And what did the dear man say? But God, who is rich in mercy. Yes, mercy and truth before his face, that poor condemned sinner, undone, unholy, and lost and ruined the fall. Oh, he says, God, move toward my soul. He's rich in mercy. Free and sovereign grace to poor, helpless, unworthy sinners, that rich in mercy, his great love, for with he loved us. He when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved. Well, he planned a refuge, didn't he? Now I want to speak a little then of this mercy and truth that should go before the face of heaven to poor sinners upon this earth. That precious way whereby God looked down upon a poor trembling soul through his own dear Son in heaven and impart mercy and truth in the life and heart of those poor sinners, quickening, awakening, leading, guiding, enabling to walk in the ways of his holiness. So blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. You see, in Israel, the trumpet was used for various reasons. Used for an alarm. Sometimes the trumpet was blown, and part of Israel would go forward, and then the other part. The alarm was blown, the enemies were near at hand, and so it had to be an alarm to the conscience. And those who knew the sound were alarmed by it, and they took action, and they joined together in warfare. And it must have made the enemies really to tremble. Yes. You say, well, we don't have that these days. Well, thank God, my friends, we preserved a measure of peace natural up till now. Wasn't the future in God's hands, friends? God is our refuge and strength. That little word is, friends, is the salvation of your soul, the salvation of all the world regarding natural things. It's not a passing thought, poor souls. Some of us here have seen his salvation in natural things in the last war, the miracles wrought. If that word wasn't put there, friends, you might say, well, that was a wonderful time. That little word is an everlasting word of presence. God is omnipotence, ever the same. When the Lord appeared to Moses in the wilderness, he said, I am that I am. And what God has made to you this side the grave, dear friend, that will he be to you for eternity. Because he is, and ever will be, infinite, self-existence, eternal, righteous, holy and just, yet merciful. He says, I am These little words are wonderful, friends. Just two letters, you see. And may prayerfully work today what he is to us. And there's alarm sometimes. We're sounded with the trumpet, and God's servants sometimes have to raise an alarm. He says, you hope and believe the Lord bring before his dear servant to be pastor in the cause here. It'll not always be a word of comfort for your soul, friend, but he'll blow an alarm sometimes. He's a faithful minister, he will. Oh, yes. It's hard work sometimes to blow an alarm. We love to speak things that comfort and see poor sinners receive comfort. But oh, friends, we've got to be alarmed sometimes. And you know, I look back to a reading service at Bethelston when I was 30 years of age. I was settled in upon my leaves in the church. And I was so happy with my little family, my few children, and things going so well in the chapel, and also in the church was being prospered, and there's much happiness amongst us, and the Sunday school was prospering, the children were growing up. It was indeed a happy time. And I settled down upon my leaves. I began to ease in Zion. I could hear the services, but nothing really went on very deep down at those times. I was quite happy and content to go on, as it were, in that state I was in. But God knew just where I was, friends. And dear Mr. Jarvis, when the deacon read a sermon one Sunday morning, there's an alarm to my soul. Like waking a poor sinner out of their sleep, I awoke. It is high time to wake out of sleep, the word of God says. And friend, we're year nearer to eternity. And my soul awoke to realize just where I'd backslidden to, just where I'd settled down, just what I'd been brought to through my folly and my own natural heart of carnality and at ease in natural things. But you know, friends, I loved that sermon when in its sermon I had heard her for many a long year. I went to that dear man's house on the Monday. I said, have you got that book, John? He says, yes, you can borrow it as long as you like. So I did. I read it. And I read it. And I read again. And that read right through me, friends. The trumpet had sounded the alarm. Now I woke. Well, it's the Lord's mercy to bring me out of it by his grace to my soul. To pardon my sins and transgressions against him. In this very chapel I sat in with two God's dear servants. They preached the pardon of my sins. So do speak of something from unknown little of. But it's through an alarm. It's not comfort for a start. It awakened me to an urgency, a solemnity before a holy God. It made me know just where I stood. Search me, O God, and know my heart, the dear man said, and see be any wicked way in me. And Lord finds ever so many friends when he searches their hearts. But the time came of blessing. But you see, sometimes there has to be an alarm. And don't feel hurt, my dear friends, when you have an alarm sometimes. An awakening of your soul. When you're brought to books a little bit before a holy God and things are searched out between your soul and God. Don't resent it, my friends. No, but thank God for it. Your soul is so precious with the Lord, he won't let you sleep your soul away, friend. No. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, friends. Yes, and love is not always made known in the gentle terms, maybe, but sometimes in correction. Reproofs, rebukes, the way of life. Well, I speak that I do not know, but that's part of the sound of the trumpet, not to be ignored or overlooked. It's not legal. In that sense, it's for the gospel end. It was end in view in all his dealings, friends. It's not termination. It's a blessing. to bring a soul into a state of godly sorrow and repentance before his heavenly majesty, to bring peace and pardon from heaven in a trembling soul, to make you know and love him more, and all his glorious truth explore. Know what that dear man preached to my soul, Mr. Raven, in this pulpit. The love of Christ constraineth us. The mark of that celestial seal can never be erased. It'll be tried, tempted, from sinner and from saint. We meet with many a blow. Those from the saints are more than those from the sinners, friend, because we love them. But Paul and Barnabas fell out, but they came together again. And Eli did not understand Hannah. And so, my dear friends, you want to always be understood by God's dear people. There's one in heaven understands you, my dear friend. And so you've got a refuge for your poor soul. Tell him all your sad complaints, poor sinners. But oh, there has to be an alarm sometimes. Yes. But there's this point here that come to me as I came in this morning. You know, there were some people who heard those trumpets, didn't understand them. They heard the noise. But they didn't discern what it really meant. They said, well, there's that, those trumpets blowing again in the camp of Israel. I don't know what's going on there. No, friend, let us not sit and die like that in the sound of divine truth. Israel had an understanding of what the trumpet signified. There has been an alarm. They should move forward. And that's a thought to think about, friends, isn't it? We mustn't be static in the things of God. We read about this, when the trumpet blew and they had to go forward in the way. And Moses said that God would go before Israel and scatter all his enemies before them. And then the Pharaoh stayed and they rested. And so you see the times when you've got to make a move in things divine. There's a time, friends, when the trumpet has blown. And that trumpet had blown to your soul and said, well, arise, my love, and come away. It's a solemn thing. Who may abide the day of his coming? The Lord's moving amongst his people in some measure, dear friends, but may we not be left to ourselves, immovable, stubborn, rebellious, stiff-necked in the things of God. But may he grant us gracious obedience and submission. But when the trumpet blows, a move has got to be made toward some step heavenward and Godward. May we have an understanding then of the voice to lead of the trumpet then. And that's sometimes a joyful sound. Oh yes. We sing that hymn sometimes, make me to walk in thy commands, make me. 'Tis a delightful road. We sing it, friends, is it? But let my heart, head or heart or hands offend against my God. There's some very blessed, friends, in obedience, in loving obedience, Lord, enable you by in holy willingness. Whether it be a church, a people, a person, whatever it may be, spiritual, in the wants of his house, providential, his leaders with you, is something very blessed, dear friends, for to condescend to walk with you. Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. Is there anything more blessed, friends, and more savory and precious and condescending that the Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit should condescend to walk with poor sinners upon this earth? But he does. They know what that word really means. In thy presence we are happy. In thy presence we are secure. He won't walk with you, my dear friend, if you don't walk in his ways. If my people transgress, or with their transgression with the rod, and it with stripes. Oh, all those words in the Word of God that speak not a legal way, but for your soul's good, friends. And did not the Apostle Paul speak then in that epistle of old, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we beseech you, ye be reconciled unto God. There's something very precious, friend, in reconciliation. Humble, holy reconciliation. The heavenly mind and wisdom of God's dealings with you. Not to rebel against or contradict what he in wisdom sees is best for us. What thy wisdom sees most fit surely must be best for me, one says, and it is, friend. You won't understand it, maybe walking through it. It may be a rough path for you to walk in, dear friend. I've had a word laid on my spirit that Mr. Pratt preached from when the church was reformed at South, or 26 years ago. And he took a text which it needed very much grace really to receive. I don't say that we should rebel against it, but it was not an easy text. He turned the Epistle of Romans. So I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable unto God through Christ Jesus. So the church was formed at Southam. My dear wife sat by me and we trembled, friends, at what we got to do. But oh, there's a sweetness in it. A sweetness in it, friends. And that word being brought back to me again, most forcibly over the last few months. We're not our own, dear friends. If we are indeed amongst his dear children, we're bought with a price. We've got no right to do as we like in things, so submit ourselves to be reconciled under the mind of Christ. To give our bodies, present them a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, no, but a living sacrifice. One to live and to move, seeking his glory and honour. Oh, crucify this self, that I no more in thee me, but thee may live. Oh, there's something in this, friend, that's so precious in the souls of God's dear people. Because the Lord draws near sometimes. And that lovely word in John's Gospel might be a help to you when you may feel impossibilities concerning the way you have to take. And Jesus said, nevertheless. It's never any less with him, friends. We come to the end of all things sometimes. Yes, no more can be done about it. Beyond all hope, and Martha said, even now, Lord. But oh, it's a hopeless case, was it not? But oh, the Lord says, nevertheless. It's never any less with him, dear friends. Your case, your trouble, your concern, your difficulties that may be around you. Nevertheless, there's no mountain or hill he can't surpass. The mountains flow down at his presence, friends. Let us go unto him, the Lord says. And that's his church, friends, all his dear people, wherever they may be, every little hill of Zion throughout this earth. He'll look down from heaven upon them still, all their troubles and sorrows. Nevertheless, let us go unto them. Oh, it's never any less with him, friends. His power is still the same, his compassion for his dear people. He never says, he still says nevertheless to their souls. And when you pray, dear friends, in all your troubles, nevertheless, yes, nevertheless, there comes the word of God quite a few times. Lived in the Psalms at one time. Nevertheless, he'd guard their affliction when he heard their cry. Yes. No, nevertheless then, friends, whatever they done, wherever they been, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And he repented. God does repent as we do, friends. It means he turned from his anger, his correction, to his love. Couldn't multitude of his mercies. He restored them the joy of his salvation. Well, and so there has to be then, sometimes this trumpet has to be blown, maybe in obedience. But I want to come to the blessed part of our text, if we may be able to do so. That know the joyful sound. What was the joyful sound, friends? The Day of Atonement. When the high priest would go in with the blood of the sacrifice, the holiest of holies, on behalf of Israel, and appear before the holy God of Israel on their behalf, and there he'll plead. They'd hear the bells and the pomegranates. He moved around in worship to know he's still living and did not die before the majesty of heaven. And so he went in before the great God of Israel, and he came out with pardon and peace to their souls. A gracious type of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, the sinner's friend. The trumpet had to be blown, friends. The people had to know the joyful sound. They had to obey that sound and go up the sanctuary. He found the presence of divine worship. They had to bring with them a sacrifice. They had to look upon Aaron. They had to listen for him. And await his coming forth with a glory of pardon. And then their souls were blessed. Now that's all typical. But we have here, my friends, in this text, the blessedness of the full gracious gospel of heaven to poor sinners as we know it ourselves. The joyful sound. Now that joyful sound was sounded first in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came down into Bethlehem's manger. We left the bright realms of bliss, and don't forget that. We should always remember we have never known heaven in all its fullness. We could not stand in our flesh, could we? One John could in the Isle of Patmos. But the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven, the bosom of his heavenly Father. He left the bright realms of bliss and glory, that holy, happy place where sin no more defiles. And the eternal Son of God came down and took upon himself our flesh. That's the gospel we believe, friends, written in the Word of God. Emmanuel, God with us, a tabernacle as thou prepared for me, was the word spoken of him. He took upon him that holy flesh, that perfect nature, made like unto his brethren, with exception of sin. A holy soul, a holy body, and he became a babe in Bethlehem's manger. But did the earth rejoice at the proclamation of his holy advent? Was man pleased, friends? The angels came down from heaven. That glorious song in the heavens was heard. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, God's will toward men. Oh, what a joyful sound this earth, friends. God's will toward men. The city of David was born a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Was the voice spoken by the angel? No less than the incarnate deity of heaven. No less than the eternal God in human flesh, the eternal Son of Heaven, to live here upon this earth, we poor, helpless, and unworthy sinners. What a joyful sound it was. And those shepherds left all their flocks upon the hills of Bethlehem. No harm came to them. They went down to worship for that babe. They bowed down before him by humble faith. And they worshipped him the thing which the angels have made known unto us. You see, they knew the joyful sound, friend, didn't they? And there was those wise men came from afar off and followed the star. And they brought those offerings of gold, myrrh, and frankincense, showing forth his life, his sufferings, his meritorious death, and his glorious resurrection. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords in heaven this Sabbath morning. And why, what made them come then all that long way to worship and bow down before his holy majesty? They knew the joyful sound, friends. And what has made your soul, poor sinner, bow down before his glorious majesty at times? That flesh could never do, and unbelief never let you do. Brought down our proud nature of unbelief and sin, the holy God, and brought us down for faith of you, that dear Redeemer. Is this nature, friends, that brings a soul there? No, it's the grace of God. That was the Lord made known unto you, poor soul. Your need, your helpless, unworthy, sinful state through the Adam fall. No name or nature could bring you comfort in your poor heart, and then to know the precious name of Jesus. As ointment poured forth, the soul of a poor sinner, the healing balm of Jesus' precious blood. Too late I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. Yes. Do you know a little being brought into it then, dear friend, the joyful sound of his advent to your soul? Lord, we bring you by humble faith to plead and to love his precious name. There's much virtue in that name, dear friends. There really is. What are we asking? My name is that Lord do for you? And to be brought to ask in his name as a miracle of grace in the soul. Doesn't mean automatically we get what we want. No, because your heart is submissive, Lord's heavenly mind and will then. It brought submission to the dominion and kingdom of God's own dear Son in your heart. And you long to know and do his will. So you plead his precious name by the Lord's own you to do so. And you desire, Lord, to work in you and for you and toward you and support and strengthen you. Was a joyful sound then. The captivity of a soul, the liberation of the gospel. So seeing the hard bondage which they come down to serve and come down to deliver thee, the Lord says. If he'd never come down, friends, we could never have a hope be taken to heaven. But he's made like unto his brethren, he came down. Yes, just where his people are, made like unto his brethren. And we're thankful that we've known had the babes may be taken from us. With the sweet hope of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ was made a babe. Those little ones are brought to trust in his name, young in years, in sanctuary here there have been some taken, young in years. A little brother taken 18 months, and Mr. Dawson buried him with a sweet hope of life eternal. We're told him before ever he died what happened, and so he buried with that hope. The little one that believed in his name. What a joyful sound, a poor tried father and mother, poor grief-stricken parents, that there's hope for the soul. Death is not the end, but oh, that dear Redeemer was made a babe in Bethlehem's manger, made like unto his brethren. Little ones taken to heaven. God's a sovereign, dear friends, in these things. And none said to him, what doest thou? And you'll be thankful, friends, that it's a babe that's taken to heaven. Because we're babes, you know. except ye become little child, can enter the kingdom of heaven, the Lord says. We've got to be made like a little child, friends. Our poor finite minds is subject to the infinite. Our poor unworthy sinners, as we are, to be brought this gracious subjection, the heavenly mind, a little babe, to enter in these blessed things. Now the Lord says, despise not one of these little ones then. They may not speak of great things, they may not just speak of great things, understand great things, but all their little ones, a little faith, a little hope, love in their hearts to continue praying, hoping, desiring, longing. Yes, not to be despised. Their faith, though small, is true. They may seem mean in others' eyes, their Lord appears so too. And so a joyful sound, dear friends, it is in the gospel that his little ones, the text often preached old Bethesdam was in the Psalms, there's a little the righteous man hath. Yes, that means a little given to you by the power of the Holy Spirit in your soul. A little help by the way, little strength from heaven, looking that dear Redeemer, praying, little strength in prayer, little token for good to your soul. It's not the great things, friends. Some may have, or don't speak against it, much bottled up in their minds, intellectually of the truth, and there have to be people about to understand these things, undoubtedly. But it's what the Lord puts in the hearts that will save us, friends. I don't speak against being lettered up in the truth, as long as you don't rest on the mere intellectual knowledge. Learn all you can about the truth, dear friend. You can't go wrong in that, naturally speaking. But all to be saved must be something written in your heart by divine power from heaven. It's not what we know, knowledge in our head that saves us, what the Lord writes in our hearts, friends, that comes a very small portion sometimes. And so we are thankful then, the joyful sound from heaven is in the Lord's hand. It's the glory to God in the highest, not to poor men and flesh upon this earth. On earth peace, just where his people are. Yes, on earth peace, God's will, good will toward men. Now as we close, we know little that peace then. In your poor troubled conscience, God's mercy to your soul. You've been so troubled in anguish about your soul's eternal welfare. You felt your sins have been so heavy for a holy God, you could not bear the load of them. The Lord's drawn near to your soul, speaking peace through Jesus' precious blood, to lead you a little into those divine heavenly matters. This man should be the peace when he soon come in the land. Well, the effect is just this, friends. It passeth all understanding. You can't fathom it, you can't explain it, but you feel and experience it. It passeth all understanding, and it keeps your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. It's a gracious remedy of all the woe that sin hath made. Well, I've only made a start, really, but blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Amen.